Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about the latest coronavirus updates, guidelines for disposing radioactive oil waste, and the difficulties facing school counselors during the pandemic. It's Tuesday, April 28th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl.
With Montana News, I'm Corin Cades Carney.
And I'm Nikki Willette. Montanans are no longer under a stay-at-home order. Some churches held in-person services Sunday, either outside or with congregants well-spaced inside. And some retail businesses also reopened yesterday with new social distancing guidelines.
Next week, bars, restaurants, and public schools will also be allowed to reopen. This is all part of a three-phase plan Governor Steve Bullock outlined for reopening the state's economy, now that he says Montana has flattened the curve of the novel coronavirus's spread. But reopening doesn't mean doors are wide open. Businesses are supposed to keep customers and staff 6 feet apart and reduce how many people are at a shop at any given time. I biked around downtown Missoula yesterday afternoon to get a sense of what it looked like now that there's the stay-at-home order is being lifted. Missoula is a bit different than other places around the state because it's only allowing curbside pickup and delivery for retail businesses, but retail businesses can start opening their doors Friday in Missoula. Downtown, when I went there was a mix of open and closed businesses. There was one door that said knock for service. Yesterday, there were a little bit more cars than I've noticed in the last few weeks. I saw a couple of people jogging through downtown, so I'm just walking around. One person was wearing a mask, and there was a guy feeding a parking meter, which I hadn't seen in a while.
Yeah, at downtown Billings, there's this massive construction project, but there was traffic. It was amazing. Maybe half the parking spaces were taken up downtown, and you know, stores had lights on, and their doors were open again. I saw barbershops, salons were reopening, and one of the bookstores downtown had one of those only curbside pickup or delivery is what they're kind of going for at this point. Rachel Kramer is one of our reporters. She spoke with Maggie Hammond late last week. Hammond manages the Montana Scene. It's a clothing shop in Missoula. And she says they'll probably open a few weeks into May, trying to keep aware of the health risks. She says her shop is going cashless to reduce contact between customers and staff. And they're also running limited hours and doing scheduled sanitation at the shop.
That's going to consist of sanitizing anything and everything you can imagine that an employee or a customer would touch.
Reporter Aaron Bolton spoke with Jandy Cox last week. He's the owner of Rocky Mountain Outfitter in Kalispell. He says he expects shops to take a two steps forward, one step back type approach to doing business, trying to figure out the best way to keep businesses open and keep people safe.
I feel like we're going to need to be flexible and not expect just the floodgates to open and everything to be back to normal.
Looking ahead to next week when dine-in bars and restaurants can reopen, there's a few extra hoops they'll need to jump through. I talked to Brad Griffin about some of those changes employers are trying to stand up before May 4th. Griffin is the president of the Montana Restaurant Association.
Continuous wiping down of surfaces, and we're taking condiments off of tables, so that'll be on request only, and then they'll be wiped down after every use. Tables and chairs will be wiped down after each customer. Yeah, I mean, we want the public to come out. I think the public is anxious to get out. I know I am. Can't wait to go out to eat again.
The governor's office has issued guidelines asking for businesses to do health assessments on employees. Griffin says many business owners may feel it's out of their expertise to monitor employees' health outside of just asking how they feel.
And it's unclear how long they'll actually have to do that.
Yeah, there's no timeline for Montana to step beyond the governor's phase one reopening. There's been more groups in the state calling more and more vocally the past few weeks for that kind of reopening. Other parts of the state are, urging a little bit more caution.
We've been reporting that more than 80,000 Montanans have filed unemployment claims since the first round of business closures went into effect about 5 weeks ago. That state and local economies have really taken a big hit.
That's the balancing act we're seeing in the actions of public health officials right now. Does it make sense to reopen now, or do some areas need their own stricter guidelines for how they want to set rules for reopening the economy locally? While preventing a flare-up of COVID-19, Bullock is leaving that decision of potential stricter guidelines to county health and government officials. And in those conversations, I keep hearing similar lines from public health officials. Here's Cindy Farr with the Missoula City County Health Department.
Our goal is to move forward in the best way that we can, fully recognizing no plan put forward is going to make every Missoula County resident happy. However, we have to pick the plan that best protects public's health while finding a balance with our other concerns.
And what are those other concerns?
The economy. Governor Bullock sometimes sends out these big email blasts describing what his administration has done in its COVID-19 response. The one he sent out the day he announced the stay-at-home order would be lifted was titled with the subject line, "Protecting the Health of Montanans and Our Economy." Cindy Farr, Missoula County has urged a lot more caution to reopening. The county ordered businesses to remain closed, but for curbside pickup and delivery until the earliest of May 1st. Missoula is also not allowing salons, barbershops, and spas to reopen while Phase 1 is in place. And again, there's no timeline for when the state will move past Phase 1. Matt Kelly with the Gallatin City County Health Department said last week that public health officials may have wanted to start the reopening later and more gradually than the Bullock administration outlined, but he also said public health is not the only concern right now.
I would rather spend the next week or two working collaboratively with businesses to make this work than fighting about reasons why we all want to be more stringent than the governor or the state at the state level. That's why I made the decision to move forward. The differences weren't worth, I think, the fight that it would have caused and the difficulty that it would have caused.
So most counties, minus Missoula, are moving forward in line with Bullock's reopening plan. In terms of bigger picture, recovery and resilience, again, it's counties and local groups that are building their own strategies to ramp up economies. In Yellowstone County, they've launched what's called an open and safe campaign. It's got things like guidance on how to apply for economic disaster loans, the Paycheck Protection Program, and printable signs that say open and safe that shops can put in their windows to try and help ease customers' worries about going back out and shopping in public. The county also has an economic response and recovery team that falls under the county's unified command, and they've been asking businesses to track and report financial losses, which the team recently passed on to the state task force for consideration about how to spend federal relief money.
Missoula County also has a recovery task force set up earlier this month before the stay-at-home order was lifted. One of the big things these kind of groups across the state seem to be doing is help gathering and kind of distilling and breaking down all the changing information that businesses might want to be keeping track of. Great Falls Development Authority released a crisis toolkit for businesses impacted by the coronavirus, along with resiliency guide. Bozeman also has an economic recovery team. Downtown Bozeman Partnership also released a reopening toolkit.
So lots of resources out there. And, you know, so much of this reopening guidance is aimed at employers and business owners. And I wanted to end on something that Yellowstone County Health Officer John Felton said last week about what individuals need to do as we start moving around again. He said people need to keep track of where they've been and who they've been with, like mark it down on a calendar or in your phone, so that if you do end up getting sick, you'll have a record of everyone you might have picked the virus up from and everyone you might have passed it on to.
So basically giving the contact tracing nurses a head start on their investigation.
Exactly. He said, mark it in your phone as you go about your business.
Thanks, Nikki.
Thanks, Corin.
Montana is reporting 449 lab-confirmed cases of the COVID-19 illness. Gallatin County yesterday announced the county's first death, bringing the state total to 15. The latest was a man over 60 years old who had been hospitalized. 11 people are currently hospitalized. 352 people have recovered. The state public health lab has analyzed more than 13,000 tests. Yellowstone County leads the state in current active cases with 19. Missoula County reports 13 active cases. Toole County reports 10. Former hotspot Gallatin County is reporting 2 active cases. Montana issued more than 45,000 unemployment payments, totaling more than $45 million last week. Last week's payments included an additional $600 from the recent federal coronavirus relief package. More than 80,000 Montanans filed new unemployment claims in the past month and a half as the governor's office closed businesses in an effort to stem the spread of the novel coronavirus. The Montana Department of Labor and Industry expects to begin issuing payments to the self-employed, gig workers, and independent contractors by the end of this week. Blackfeet tribal leaders announced a second lab confirmed case of the COVID-19 illness Saturday night. Blackfeet COVID-19 Incident Command posted to Facebook that the Blackfeet Community Hospital received the positive test and that the patient is quarantined and under surveillance. The command announced the reservation's first case of a non-member resident on April 10th. The tribe's stay-at-home order remains in effect, along with a curfew, closure of tribal offices, and a 14-day quarantine requirement for people returning to the reservation from infected areas. Blackfeet Reservation residents are required to wear face masks and gloves when in public. A Montana Legislative Interim Committee voted yesterday to delay part of a controversial rule that sets guidelines for disposing radioactive oil waste. Kayla DeRoche reports.
Republican Senator Mike Lang of Malta requested the Montana Environmental Quality Council meeting over his concern that the state did not offer enough opportunity for public comment on new rules for disposing technologically enhanced, naturally occurring radioactive materials, or TNORM. He said the State Department of Environmental Quality should have held a public hearing after it redrafted TNORM disposal regulations in January.
I said, well, that just seems peculiar to me, and let's investigate.
These drafted regulations would be part of Montana's first statewide regulatory guidelines for TNORM. It's been a highly disputed, years-long process. DEQ in 2019 proposed a gate limit of 200 picocuries per gram of radioactivity. The new draft, released earlier this year, lowers the maximum down to 50 picocuries and eliminates a rolling average of 50 picocuries. DEQ said it's been reviewing public comments and would have issued a final rule in May. The Environmental Quality Council's 10-6 vote to informally object to the drafted regulations triggers a 6-month delay. The council will have to vote at its meeting in May to renew the informal objection for it to remain in effect. Kayla DeRoche, Yellowstone Public Radio News.
It's been 6 weeks since Montana's public school districts shifted to remote and online learning due to the coronavirus pandemic, and some school counselors say they're having a harder time checking in with students. Aaron Bolton with Montana Public Radio reports counselors say the lack of daily face-to-face interactions may prevent some from getting the help they need.
Lee Stark is the kindergarten through fourth grade counselor for Stevensville Schools. He says he hasn't been able to get in touch with roughly 10 of his students. He says many of them are high risk, which could mean anything from dealing with food insecurity at home to chronic behavioral issues. Stark says the students' families may be experiencing some rough circumstances as Montana's coronavirus outbreak and the resulting economic shutdown unfold.
Those situations, I think, have maybe gotten worse because there's chronic stress. There might be financial insecurity. There might be all of these other factors that are increasing the stress in the household.
Because Stark serves such a young population of students, he's been largely dependent on their parents for contact. And that doesn't always happen. He worries that students aren't getting the help they need to process what's going on amid the pandemic, on top of already living in potentially neglectful and abusive homes. He says it's difficult for him not knowing what the students he's trying to connect with are experiencing.
Having that unsettling feeling, I just have to wrestle with this idea. Is it just unsettling because I'm really uncomfortable with it? Or is it, you know, an accurate depiction? Am I feeling this feeling in my gut because it's there and this is actually happening?
The Montana School Counselor Association and the Montana Office of Public Instruction have been holding statewide discussions with school counselors at all grade levels so they can share how they're serving their students remotely. Assistant Board Chair Renee Schoening says Stark's experience is happening across the state. And she adds that it's been hard to provide adequate emotional support for the kids who are in contact with schools.
That's been very difficult, doing that remotely.
Schoening is an elementary school counselor in Deer Lodge and says when school is in session, it's usually teachers who notice red flags like major changes in a student's behavior and appearance or signs of abuse like bruises. That information is usually forwarded on to counselors.
And then there's just those disclosures that happen when you're in the office with a student one-on-one. where they are with a trusted adult and they say, hey, guess what happened to me?
Schoening says those private conversations are hard to have when counselors don't know if someone is in the room with a student during a video or phone call, or whether parents might be checking their email. Schoening and others, like Glendive Middle School counselor Sherry Nisley, say students have been less forthcoming while communicating remotely, making it harder to see those typical red flags.
I get a lot of, I'm doing great, things are fine. You know, usually when we're in school, you're busy as a school counselor. That's, you constantly have kids wanting to come in and meet with you and address problem solve and stress management and all of that. So that is something that I'm seeing less of. And it does concern me.
School counselors say limited contact and the subsequent lack of information they're getting from students is likely leading to a drop in calls to the Montana Department of Health and Human Services Child Abuse and Neglect Hotline. State health officials say calls to the hotline fell about 50% shortly after schools closed their doors in mid-March. Nisley says she has been seeing more of her colleagues reporting education neglect to DPHHS when they haven't been able to contact students.
So hopefully they can at least make well child checks on them and make sure that they're okay.
DPHHS says calls to its hotline have increased slightly every week in April, leading to more child welfare checks by law enforcement. But weekly calls are still below the average for July, when school isn't in session. Some school counselors hope that Governor Steve Bullock's phased reopening could provide districts with more options to connect with students. Districts can fully or partially reopen their doors on May 7th, providing potential for in-person contact, and even if school doors remain closed, reduced social distancing guidelines from the state could allow for home visits. Montana's Office of Public Instruction says it's preparing guidance for districts as they work out how they will serve students moving forward. Counselors like Lee Stark in Stevensville say they expect higher demand for counseling services when students walk back into school buildings, though it's hard to say what kind of struggles they may be helping their students through.
And not knowing, you know, what was on top of this already pretty big event, this traumatic thing that everyone is going through. What did they individually experience, and helping them process through that and work through that?
This event is stacked on data showing that more of Montana's students have been struggling with mental health in recent years. According to the state's 2019 Youth Risk Behavior Survey, percentages of students who have thoughts of suicide or are feeling hopeless are on the rise. Counselors like Stark say no matter what their students are facing, they're gearing up to touch base with all of them when schools reopen, whether that happens yet this spring or next fall. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for you early birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.